This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49, Wednesday, November the 10th, and of course you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, we were greeted with news that Malaysia and Singapore will reopen a vaccinated travel lane at the end of the month between KLIA and Changi Airport. Travellers will not need to quarantine, but will have to prove a negative COVID-19 test. Before the pandemic disrupted travel, the air route between Singapore and KL was actually among the world's most busiest.
So finally, Singaporeans will be able to enjoy proper food. Now, Singapore... Well, congratulations to them, I think. So Singapore has already launched multiple vaccinated travel lanes with at least 12 nations, including Australia, the UK and the United States. The island state currently allocates a daily quota of about 4,000 travellers to cater for arrivals from about 13, what we call VTL, or vaccinated travel lane countries, which includes South Korea. Now, the plan is to increase this to about 6,000 when Malaysia and also Finland and Sweden are included in the list. So how will this development impact economic activity with our neighbours down south?
So joining us on the line for some thoughts on this is Dr. Mustafa Izzuddin, who is a Senior International Affairs Analyst at Solaris Strategies in Singapore. Good morning, Mustafa. Now, the Malaysia-Singapore border, like we said, is one of the busiest in the world. So what are the implications in terms of the disruption to border movements over the past 20 months for both sides?
There has been significant disruption, particularly in the area of the economy. Businesses have been affected. Commuting has been restricted. And also people-to-people movement, people-to-people ties. You know, people have families, loved ones, friends. In each other's country. So that has also been affected. Many have not seen their loved one in 2 years. So this is certainly, so these are all disruptions, both in the economic side of things and also just, you know, on the people side of things. So what we've seen, you know, this development on the vaccination travel lanes, the VTLs, I think certainly a very positive move.
And I mean, this is an air lane. So what is still not resolved is the road linkage, because the critical linkage is actually the road between Johor and Singapore, right? So yes. With that not yet in place, can you just paint us a picture, you know, how significant is that linkage between Johor and Singapore? And how do workers typically commute daily now? Or can they in the first place?
I think the hope is that the land border will also reopen. But I think right now they are looking at the current situation, and I think the governments feel that let's do it the air travel first. Let's see how that pans out because the COVID situation is still evolving. And I think it might well be a prelude to the land border reopening. And I think that would so that valve opening at the Johor to Singapore route, I think would ease problems for many people. And I think people are looking to that. But right now, their way to travel is by air. And hopefully, as a prelude, the land borders will also reopen. It's been difficult for the workers commuting from Johor, Malaysia, to Singapore. And it has been a very difficult time for them. I think we've heard reports of how some have lost jobs. They have had to reduce the income. Not being able to see their loved ones for the last 2 years or so. So it has been very difficult for them. So I think try to find alternative jobs by not being able to return to Singapore. I think all of this has contributed to the fact that both countries had to negotiate what's the best way, forward. And I think now that the COVID situation is better handled, I suppose also had to handle, but the number of cases are now sort of either tapered or going down, and more people are being vaccinated, I think we'll see more of this reopening, and that would help both Singapore and Malaysia.
And I'm curious, do you have an indication of how the pandemic has changed labour patterns between the two countries? Have Singaporean employers actually now been less inclined to hire Malaysian workers to minimise potential disruption, or where have they sourced their workers from?
Yeah, I don't think they have... I don't believe the labor force that they get from Malaysia will change because of what has happened. Because if they don't get it from Malaysia, they have to get it from somewhere else. And I think for years, many companies in Singapore have benefited from the workforce from Malaysia coming into Singapore, and particularly from Johor. So I don't think that labor pattern is going to change. I think businesses are really looking at the current developments, and particularly when the land border reopens. I think more than the air is the land border that businesses are particularly looking at. And I think once that happens, we'll probably see some sort of normalcy returning to businesses and the labor force coming from Malaysia. But I think it has also been, in a way, a wake-up call for businesses to also diversify their labor force. But I think looking to Malaysia, and it's something that's been rather traditional, quite conventional Malaysians coming to Singapore to work. So I don't think that labor pattern is going to change.
Now, can I just get your perspective on a separate note, which was this high-profile case of the Malaysian on death row in Singapore over drug trafficking violations, which has really garnered quite a lot of international attention, right? And I think the most recent case being Naginthran Dharmalingam. You know, how have these cases affected Malaysia-Singapore bilateral ties?
I don't think it has. I think it has. The communication between the two leaders, I think the Malaysia's Prime Minister has also had a sort of conversation with the Singapore Prime Minister on this particular issue. So it's the relationship between Singapore and Malaysia are actually very, very cordial. It has its ups and downs. But this particular incident, I don't think would derail the relationship. I think there's a healthy respect for each other's laws. And I think we see this in this instance as well. Of course, there are mitigating factors. We've seen this being highlighted on the news. The hope here is that both countries can agree to a resolution. But I think on the Malaysian side, particularly on the Prime Minister, I think has at least sent in the message of hoping to give a stay of execution. I mean, that has been given to the current the individual in question. But I think the broader picture here is that there's a healthy respect for each other's laws. There is a communication channel where the Prime Minister do talk to each other on these matters. We've seen this report on the news. But in terms of the bilateral relationship, I don't think it will be affected. But certainly on a human level, there is many human rights groups and all that still hoping that they're able to save this individual from being executed.
So, Doc, I'm curious, do you think this is an up or down movement between Malaysia and Singapore? Because we've had two changes of government in the last 2 years and we have a new Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri. So how do you think the two governments will work together?
I think before 2018, that means we're looking at the administrations of Abdullah Badawi and Najib Razak. I think during those administrations, the relations between Malaysia and Singapore were very, very good. Very cordial, very multifaceted. There were many projects that were mooted, joint ventures and so on. I think after 2018, the change in government with Dr. Mahathir coming into office, you saw a bit of clawing back of the relationship with the termination, the cancellation of the high-speed rail, HSR in particular. There were also some issues on the airspace. Some of these issues did crop up again. But that was during the time of Dr. Mahathir. In a way, when he was 22 years in power, it was up and down as far as the relationship between Singapore and Malaysia were concerned. Then subsequently, under Muhyiddin Yassin and Ismail Sabri, I think the relationship has become a lot more sort of stabilized. And also because of the COVID situation, it's really looking at the health more than in other areas. I think under Ismail Sabri, I think when he came into office, he had a call with the Prime Minister of Singapore. Immediately, both sides reaffirmed the importance of the bilateral relations. And I think that's a good and positive sign going forward. And I think under Ismail Sabri administration, and also with this new agreement with the vaccination travel lane being just announced, I think that stands well in good stead. The relationship between the two countries. So I only can see the relationship getting better from this point forward.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Mustafa Izzuddin, Senior International Affairs Analyst at Solaris Strategy Singapore, telling us that we're going to be expecting better ties between the two countries. And I think this VTL is one step closer to that, because whatever said and done, our history, Our future are very much tied together. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.